Yes, Your Honor, may it please the court, and wish everyone safe and sound.
Excuse me, Mr. Wong. Yeah, the clock,
Yes.
Judge Van Dyke, the clock is not showing the proper time.
Right. So we need to have the clock set to 10 minutes. There it goes.
Yes, Your Honor.
Go ahead, Mr. Wong.
Yeah, in this case, I request the court to find that both the adverse credibility finding of the immigration judge and the board are clearly erroneous and not supported by substantial evidence. In this scenario, the Real ID Act is misapplied in this case in denying a petitioner's asylum application and withholding of removal application. The Real ID Act and the president of this honorable court mandates that an immigration judge should first determine the testimony of the applicants, whether it is credible, persuasive, and refers to facts sufficient to demonstrate refugee status.
So Mr. Wong, this is Judge
Yes.
Van Dyke. I think the IJ, the immigration judge, did actually make a credibility finding. The BIA, I think, declined to address whether there was clear error in the immigration judge's credibility finding. What does that do to the immigration judge's credibility finding? Does that mean that the credibility finding is still a factual part of the record, or what does that mean for us?
I'm citing this case in related to the corroboration requirements of the Real ID Act. In this scenario, in this case, the board did not address the credibility finding of the IJ and denied the claims of petitioners based on the lack of corroboration alone. But the Real ID Act mandates that both the IJ and the board has to determine that the testimony alone could sufficient to meet the burden of proof first before they deny the corroboration, deny the claims based on corroboration. In this case, the IJ's adverse credibility finding is clearly erroneous. That means that IJ did not make a right decision based on the Real ID Act. And the applicant never have a chance to meet his burden of proof with his credible, persuasive, and the facts of the case for his application of the asylum. So, in this scenario, the Real ID Act should not be applied in such a way by the board, and it's a misapplication of the statute. And this case should be remanded. And further, I revise my written brief. I would request this honorable court to make a decision and petitioner has met the burden of proof and that he is statutorily eligible for asylum and grant his asylum application and remand the proceedings for withholding or removal or for security clearance check only. Because in this case, in this kind of situation where the IJ's adverse credibility finding is clearly erroneous and was not addressed by the board at all. And so both the IJ and the board would not be able to make a correct decision upon remand regarding the credibility finding. It is inherently impossible for them to make that, to find the applicant's testimony. Yes.
Mr. Wong, if to reverse what the BIA did, I guess what I'm curious about is, in order for us to reverse what the BIA did here, the BIA yes. said, I'm not going to address the adverse credibility finding, whether that had clear error. Instead, he assumed, I think, without deciding that the petitioner was credible, but then he decided that his credible testimony did not meet the burden, that the IJ did not err in saying the credible testimony did not meet the burden, and that the corroborating evidence didn't push it over the line either. But for us to reverse that, we have to see that the record as a whole would compel a different finding. Does that mean that do we have to address the adverse credibility finding and see if that was clear error?
Certainly, I think the court has to address this adverse credibility finding. And if the court addressed this adverse credibility finding, the court will find this adverse credibility finding is clearly erroneous and also not supported by substantial evidence. So in this kind of situation, I think this is I don't know if this is the first impression, but I believe the court has done that in He versus Ashcroft, 328 FVD 593, 9th Circuit 2003, and to outright find the petitioner in that case credible and grant the relief of asylum and remand the case for, I believe, if I'm not wrong, for withholding or removal only. Even though this is only a PID, real ID case, I think this case is still applicable here. And I wish the court could address the adverse credibility finding of both the IJ and the board. I believe the board has deemed the IJ's adverse credibility finding is not clearly erroneous, but the board's decision is also legally erroneous in a way. In both is adverse credibility finding and the corroboration requirements.
Well, thank you, Mr. Wong. This is Judge Van Dyke. Would you like to reserve any time for you? You have 2 minutes left. Would you like to reserve that for rebuttal?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any other questions, judges, before we switch over? All right. Ms. Carter, I think it looks like you're muted, but like you're unmuted.
I think I'm unmuted now.
You may proceed.
Okay. Good morning. May it please the court. Margo Carter, the United States Attorney General. The court should deny the petition for review. Mr. Chen did not meet his burden of proof, and no record evidence compels the conclusion that he did. He was represented by counsel. He received 6 weeks to provide corroborating evidence after the immigration judge put him on notice that his testimony was insufficient. When he ultimately did provide evidence, it raised more questions than it answered.
Ms. Carter, I think it would be interesting to talk about some of the corroborating evidence, I suspect, but you heard my questioning of Mr. Wong. The question I've got is, what do we do as a court with when the IJ says I find this person not credible, but also gives an alternative ground, and then on appeal to the BIA declines, as they did here expressly, the BIA declines to address the question. It doesn't overturn, it doesn't explicitly uphold, it just declines to address the question and rules on a different ground. essentially assuming, I think, that the petitioner was credible but not deciding. In order, what do we need to do in order to overturn the BIA? Because typically we can't overturn the BIA unless the evidence as a whole in the record compels a different finding. Is the adverse credibility finding still in the part of that record as a whole that we have to check whether it would compel a different finding, or is that adverse credibility finding no longer in front of us?
I think the adverse credibility finding was not rejected by the board. The board simply set it aside and said, look, we have an alternate ground for reaching a decision, and it's not necessary to address the adverse credibility finding.
Right, and if we disagreed with the district court's, I'm not saying whether I do or don't, but if we disagree with the district court, or I'm sorry, the BIA's basis for decision and to overturn the BIA, I would want to know what we would need to do. Would it be enough to, and are you familiar with the Ming Dai case?
I am familiar with the Ming Dai case. Yeah, I think it's worth noting.
The Ming Dai case applies to this case.
I'm happy to talk about that. I think as an initial matter, it's worth noting that the petitioner in this case has never raised Ming Dai, nor has he raised the deemed credible rule. So that's just at the outset, that is not an issue that either party has raised in this case or addressed. And the petitioner acknowledges the adverse credibility finding and has not claimed that the adverse credibility finding is somehow a nullity here, or that he's deemed credible. But in addition, just
whether he's raised it or not, I mean, if we were to overturn the BIA, I think we'd have to decide what was the standard essentially. What do we do with this adverse credibility finding that has not been disturbed by the BIA, but also has not been affirmed?
Well, and I think that's where it's worth getting into the language of Ming Dai, which is pretty clear that the absence of an adverse credibility finding was what was at issue in that case. In that case, the immigration judge never made an adverse credibility finding. So there was no adverse credibility finding on the record when the board received it. And so in Ming Dai, a panel from this court decided that that a presumption of credibility applies where there is no adverse credibility finding. Here, there was an adverse credibility finding, and then what you have from the board is a sort of equivocal statement that neither of
Ming Dai did say. I think Ming Dai did say that where the BIA declines to expressly affirm an adverse credibility finding, the court then, quote, may not deny the petition for review based on lack of credibility. Two questions about that. One is that dicta. I tend to think it is because that wasn't the case in front of the court in Ming Dai. And number two, how can that be reconciled with the statutory requirement that that requires us to only reverse if the ground is inconsistent with the record as a whole, if it compels a different result?
Well, I think one of the other things that Ming Dai was quite clear about was that the presumption only applies when the case is at the board. So in other words, if there's no adverse credibility finding in the immigration judge's decision, there can be a presumption of credibility on appeal, I think was how they put it, to the board, but that presumption of credibility would not apply at the U.S. Court of Appeals.
No, I think Ming Dai went further. It basically said it's more than a presumption. I'm not sure what you're saying is.
Right, it was deemed credible, but.
But that's only, I think, what I'm trying to figure out is this Ming Dai's requirement, is that only in a situation where the IJ did not make an adverse credibility finding, like in Ming Dai. I don't know how Ming Dai could have made a rule for a situation like ours.
I think Ming Dai is limited to the situation, a very narrow situation where there is no adverse credibility finding in the immigration judge's decision. I will note also that the government has a petition for rehearing, and we were unsuccessful in that petition. We petitioned for rehearing en banc. We were unsuccessful in that. And we're now seeking certiorari before the Supreme Court. So we continue to believe that Ming Dai was actually wrongly decided. But obviously,
I'm bound by it, but I'm trying to figure out what exactly I'm bound by. Am I bound by it in this case? Because I don't know how Ming Dai did, as far as I can tell. I think it was in a footnote or something. It basically had a passing reference to the fact that even where unless the adverse credibility finding by an IJ is like affirmatively adopted by the BIA, but I don't know how Ming Dai could have said that in a binding way when that fact situation was not in front of the court.
Yeah, I think this is distinguishable, and that was not the situation that was presented to the court in Ming Dai. There wasn't an adverse credibility finding there, and there was here. So for the court to step in and reverse the agency where there is an adverse credibility finding by the immigration judge, followed by a somewhat equivocal finding on appeal, and reach a completely new conclusion that the petitioner in this case is credible, would sort of abrogate the authority of the administrative agency in this case.
Go ahead, Judge Bybee.
So counsel, the Real ID Act is added some language about the right of an IJ to seek corroborating information. So when the IJ can say, I don't believe you're telling me the truth, or an IJ can say, I don't know if you're telling me the truth, but I need some additional corroborating evidence before I conclude that you are. And if you don't provide that evidence, then I can't credit your testimony. That's different from saying you're just outright lying to the court. And isn't that what the IJ's alternate finding is here? The BIA says we uphold the IJ on the grounds that he has failed to come forward with enough proof, as we're entitled to ask for under the Real ID Act, to corroborate his testimony. And therefore, he hasn't made his affirmative case. But we're going to stop short of saying you lied to the IJ.
That is absolutely correct. That is the burden of proof finding was really the dispositive finding that the board seized upon in its decision. And they sort of set aside the adverse credibility finding. I was just sort of trying to answer Judge Van Dyke's question about the effect of the board's treatment of the immigration judge's adverse
credibility. I think Judge Bybee's, I'm tracking what Judge Bybee said. What I was curious about is, but if we were wanting to, if we were in a position to want to overturn the BIA's decision on the basis of his decision, what would we have to do? And I think maybe to say that we would have to look at all of the evidence as a whole in the record and see if it compels a different result. Part of that evidence in the record would be the BIA's adverse credibility finding. So I think we would maybe have to reach the IJ's adverse credibility finding. I think we'd have to reach that if we wanted to overturn the BIA here. I don't think we could just assume that the IJ was credible, because that's part of the record, but that's what I'm trying to figure out. In other words, what I'm talking about doesn't matter if we agree with the BIA's basis of decision, but with this alternative thing in the record, I'm trying to figure out if we would have to reach that if we wanted to disagree. You can continue. I know you're out of time, so go ahead.
I was just going to say I'm out of time, but I think in this case, if you disagreed with the Board of Immigration Appeals, you would have to remand. If your issue with the Board of Immigration Appeals was their lack of a finding on the credibility issue, you'd have to remand under Ventura.
I'm not sure that's true, because here's the deal. If I disagree with the BIA that the BIA said the only basis the BIA ruled on was, they said, well, he's got a certain amount of, let's assume credible, but we're not going to decide, but let's assume credible testimony. But that's not enough, so let's get some more corroborating evidence, but that's not enough either. You add them together, it's still not enough. That's the BIA's basis for decision. That's the alternate decision from the IJ. But if we wanted to overrule that, I don't think we could do that unless we pass through the question of whether or not he's actually not credible, because that's another thing in the record. So I think we'd have to go further and actually find clear error in the IJ's decision that he's not credible, we wouldn't just be able to say, well, we don't agree with the BIA on this other ground. We'd actually have to decide the not credible if we're going to be consistent with the statute that says the administrative findings of fact are conclusive unless any reasonable adjudicator would be compelled to conclude to the contrary.
I mean, I think in that instance, the petitioner hasn't really identified evidence that compels the conclusion to the contrary in this case.
Ms. Carter, could I just ask a clarification question? I want to make sure I'm not missing something. So I was flipping back through the Ming Dai case during this discussion, and I didn't see anything about corroborating evidence in that case. Am I right that issue wasn't present in Ming Dai?
That is my understanding as well. Okay. That
my sense of that case was that the court just went through the petitioner's testimony and you know said that it was improper for the BIA to not credit it. Right, not to grant the petition on the basis of that testimony. But here, the issue, as I understand it, the issue that's presented in this case is, was the BIA's analysis of the corroborating evidence that the IJ had the right to ask for so wrong that no, you know, the opposite conclusion is compelled that the BIA reached. And if we don't think that, you know, the BIA could have reached only one conclusion about the corroborating evidence, that's the end of the matter. And if we think that the BIA could have only reached one conclusion about the corroborating evidence and it's the opposite conclusion that the BIA reached, we would remand to the BIA for further proceedings, I assume. Right?
Yes.
Well, let me push back on you, Ms. Carter. I'm not sure that's true, because I think what would happen is if we reach the conclusion that the corroborating evidence doesn't actually push you across, or does actually push you across the line, assuming he's credible, before we could remand, we would actually, because in the factual record is this finding that he's not credible, we would actually have to go further and say, not only does the corroborating evidence not push you across the line, assuming he's credible, but we would have to actually find that there was clear error in the IJ's decision finding that he wasn't credible. If we didn't find that, we would be bound by that factual finding unless we can find clear error on that. You can agree with
me. I think because the board didn't really rule on it one way or the other.
It doesn't matter. The board doesn't have to rule on factual findings for them to stay in the record, does it? If the board doesn't address factual findings, let's say the board rules on a ground and it says these three factual findings we find support the IJ's decision, but the IJ actually had six factual findings that he found. For us to overturn the board, we would have to actually not just say that, well, I don't think those three didn't meet it, but we would go to the other three also and have to show they didn't meet it, because we have to look at the record as a whole.
We have to look at the record.
And find that administrative findings of fact are conclusive unless a reasonable adjudicator would be compelled to conclude to the contrary. That's our scope of review from Congress, right?
No disagreement on the standard of review.
Well, it sounds if you don't have any other questions, I mean, this was an interesting sort of question for me, and I was kind of curious as to what your view on this was. But do you have any other thoughts on it, or judges, do you have any other questions on it?
No.
All right. Well, Mr. Wong, you can have a couple minutes here. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here, and I don't have much to add, Judge. And I believe the BIA has determined that the IJ's decision did not include any clear errors, and that's another way of affirming the IJ's factual finding. And I believe the court should reach a decision based on the IJ's adverse credibility finding as a whole, to see if there's clear errors, and if the board, if the court choose to reverse the BIA decision, I request the court to make a decision on the eligibility of the petitioner's application instead of remanding for further proceedings, or if the that would be not fair to petitioner in a way.
Thank you, Mr. Wong.
Okay.
You have anything else, Mr. Wong?
Nothing further, Your Honor.
Well, I think we're in the odd circumstance where Mr. Wong appears to agree with me. Mrs. Carter will figure out she agrees with me after this argument, and she goes back and thinks about it. But we'll see whether the other judges agree with me. Thank you, Mr. Wong. This case is submitted. I appreciate your. We're going to move on to the next case, and the next case is.